Well, if you found Acts chapter 28, if you're willing and able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to begin in verse number 25 and read down through the end of the chapter. We're coming towards the end of the life of the Apostle Paul, and he's actually on house arrest as we read this in Acts chapter 28. So understanding that in context, look what the Bible says in verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I circled that phrase in my personal Bible reading here just a while ago, it was a few weeks ago. Circled that phrase in verse 31 where it says, with all confidence. And then I went back over this passage of Scripture, and I want to share a few thoughts with us this morning on this subject matter on confidence in the message. Confidence in the message. He preached and he taught with all confidence. I'm thankful for the confidence we have in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and then you can be seated, and I'll share the message with us. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that it's true. I'm thankful for what Jesus has done for us. I'm thankful for the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm thankful that He paid for our sins. Lord, the message that you've given to us, as recorded in the Scriptures, Lord, we can have great confidence. It's not our message. It's your message to all of mankind. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us, that you'd challenge us about this message that you've given to us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. One of the things I wrote on the back of this door hanger to be able to take out and to be able to spread across Concord. In the second paragraph I put here at Granite State Baptist Church, we endeavor to spread the light and love of Jesus as revealed in the Scriptures. Making sure that the message that is given is one that comes from our Savior and not one that is just made up by man. A message of hope, a message of confidence, an eternal message that God's given to us. As I read down through, and it would encourage you from time to time to go back and read the book of Acts of how God used the first century church in a great and a wonderful way, how the message of the gospel of Christ spread out not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, how the churches were established across the region, not just there in Europe, but also up into Asia. And we read about that throughout the book of Acts. By the time we get to the end of the book of Acts, the last few verses, 7 verses that we read, we understand that a major transition has taken place. God has proclaimed the gospel to the Jewish nation, and starting all the way back in the Old Testament, we see their rejection of Christ as the Messiah. By the time Jesus comes, the Bible tells us that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They did not receive Jesus. They did not receive the message of the gospel. So as we read here, beginning in verse number 26, we see that God is blinding the Jewish nation. They'll have eyes, but they won't be able to see. They'll have ears, but they won't be able to hear it, lest they should understand with the heart and be converted and he should heal them. They had their opportunity, and now for a time period, God has set them aside. And I love this phrase that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. And you say, why is that such an important phrase in the Bible? Because that's you and me. Those that are not born into the Jewish nation and Jews by blood were called Gentiles. The Bible says that salvation, the salvation of God, is sent unto the Gentiles. And I'm thankful for the day that salvation is come to my household. And I know that you're thankful for the day that salvation came to your household. And aren't you thankful that salvation is not just for the Jew? But according to Romans chapter 10, it's for whosoever. And we read things throughout the scripture that that wall of partition that was separating us from Almighty God was torn down by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have access. And so we see by the end of the book of Acts here, the Apostle Paul, if you go back and study history and some of his other writings and epistles, we know that during this 2 years, he's actually under house arrest. A lot of what he did in ministry, the writings that we have, they're called the prison epistles for a reason. Because he wrote to them, and what else do you have in prison besides time? And they didn't, it wasn't a prison like it is today. I've had prisoners tell me when I walk inside there, they say, Pastor, we have two things to be able to work on in here. One is our mind and one is our body. And so they'll have the workout area and they'll be strengthening themselves physically, but then they'll spend their time reading. And many of them will. And some of the smartest men and ladies that I've ever met intellectually actually have been locked up inside a prison and they've spent their time educating their mind. Well, that's the setting we find the Apostle Paul in. He's under house arrest. There's those that are able to come and go. But it closes out here this statement that he is preaching and he is teaching with all confidence. And that phrase just struck at me about the message that God has given to each and every one of us. You know, there's nothing worse as a pastor to stand up with a message and not have confidence in what you're speaking about. Or to be able to share that message with someone else and they can tell that you don't even believe what you're saying. And you don't have confidence in it. It's like someone trying to tell about Jesus changing a life. And he's never changed yours. And as I read down through, preaching and teaching with all confidence. And I want to share just a few thoughts with us on this subject matter, on confidence in the message, because I believe more people, if they were actually confident about what Christ has done in their heart and lives, and they were confident about being able to portray that and tell that to someone else, that maybe would share the message a little bit more. But some people say, well, I'm not a public speaker. I could never get up in front of the church like what you're doing right now. Can I say this? There's not a time yet that I haven't been nervous standing up here. Not a time yet. Now, I enjoy it. I love it. But the message that God's given, and they've been able to portray that and be able to convey that with confidence. He said, the kingdom of God and those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Let me share just a few things. First of all, we can have confidence in our message when others reject it. You say, what do you mean? Well, look what the Bible says back in verse number 22. As they were coming, and listen, I would encourage you to read down through the entire chapter of 28, and then especially starting in verse number 16 is where they came to Rome. And he ends up in Rome, and they're coming and they're speaking to him, because in verse number 19, we're reminded that Paul actually appealed to Caesar to be able to go and plead his case before Caesar. And so they're being sent before him to be able to inquire. And look what it says in verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Now, what sect are they talking about? They're talking about the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and they're desiring to hear from the Apostle Paul. They said, we want to know about this because everywhere people are speaking against it. Now, can I remind us that as Bible believers, as saying that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on an old rugged cross, was buried, and rose again the third day, you would think that people would love that message, don't you? But it's amazing how much around this world that the message of Christ is spoken against. That it's not what is that which saves us. That Jesus was just a good man as he walked upon the face of the earth. Now, I'm not talking about those that maybe speak against it in ignorance because they don't know any better. I'm talking about those that will just flat out reject knowing everything that Christ has done and flat out speak against the message of Christ. May I say it's a dangerous place to be, to take a stand against the Lord Jesus Christ? It's also a dangerous place to be to speak against the Lord Jesus Christ and knowingly doing so. You say, but Pastor, this message that we preach here at Granite State Baptist Church, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, do you understand that that's not the direction that churches are going today? When I had someone tell me, and this was several years ago, and if I named the church, maybe several would possibly know where and where this church is at and the messages that were given. Maybe some have heard about it. But when I was told by a Sunday school teacher that the pastor had come to him and said, listen, we're not going to be teaching about sin anymore throughout the Sunday school classes, or not going to be preaching about that. That's just not what people want to hear. Can I say this? We can still have confidence in the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when it is rejected by those that are around us. Even when it is rejected, because listen, it's been said throughout the New Testament that Jesus is that cornerstone that was a stumbling block. He is that cornerstone that was rejected by the builders. We constantly remind people, listen, I've walked up to people's doors and they've been as polite as they possibly could and said, I want nothing to do with what you're trying to talk to me about. To be constantly reminded, you know something, they're not rejecting me. But you know what they're rejecting? They're rejecting the message. And do you know why there is such a rejection of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Because the devil knows that it'll change lives. And the flesh knows that it will change lives and that it'll be different. That's why even at the name of Jesus, some people go into just a spin. They can't handle it. You see about it throughout the New Testament in the Gospels when Jesus was just walking along. Listen, even the devils and the demons of hell could not stand in opposition, but they would come and bow themselves before the Lord Jesus. There's just something about the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about getting into a trance, but I would say this, the next time you're discouraged and down and you're feeling oppression, depression, everything from all around, why don't you just start spending some time with Jesus? Why don't you audibly start quoting the names of the Lord Jesus? It'd be amazing what takes place when you start focusing on Jesus all around you. Now listen, we can have confidence in the message of Jesus even when there's those around us that reject it. Look what the Bible says in verse 24. It says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. You ever wonder why doesn't everybody just believe the message of Jesus? I mean, it's such a wonderful message. I mean, you're telling me that I'm a sinner and I am separated from Almighty God. But Jesus came to this earth and he died for me and he paid for every one of my sins so that I could have a personal relationship with Christ, not just here, but for all of eternity. To me, that sounds like, that's just great news. What a message. Nah, no thanks. That's not for me. Eternity with Christ and a personal relationship with him is not for them. Some believed. Aren't you thankful for those that do believe? But doesn't it grieve your heart for those that believe not? You know, even if they reject the message, we can still have confidence in the message. But then I want you to see this. We can have confidence in the message, not just when others reject it, but we can have confidence in the message when it takes time to deliver it over and over and over again. I wondered how it was and how many times they came and talked to the Apostle Paul. But then look at this in verse number 30. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. I wonder how many walked in to talk to the Apostle Paul that maybe it took that year and a half, 2 years or so for them to finally say, I believe it. Do you know it's not all going to happen the first time we talk to someone? We could take a poll here. How many trusted Christ as their personal Savior the very first time ever that they heard about Jesus dying for him? First time ever. We have a couple. Can I say this? Sometimes it's over and over and over again. You say, well, the message just isn't working. Yes, it is working. Do you think Paul got saved the very first time he heard the gospel? No. God had to knock him off his high horse flat on his back and say, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? In other words, I believe there was some conviction that was taking place and Paul was fighting against it. Hey, listen, you go back into the scriptures, back around Acts chapter number 5, and there was a great teacher there and he said, listen, if you find yourself fighting against God, you might as well quit. It's a losing battle. Losing battle. You don't fight against God. I thought, listen, it may take some time. There's some that I come in contact with and I'm thinking, God, would you just open their eyes? Allow them to be able to see it. And then we sit there and we say, why in the world? Well, God's just saying, hey, be patient. I'm working on things that you can't even see. And it may take some time. May take some time. Let them see the scriptures. Let them see the love of Christ. Let them see what Jesus is able to do. It just takes some time. But you know something? We can still have confidence in the message. You say, but I'm results-oriented. Can I say this? I'm results-oriented too. I like to see a task, and I like to see it completed and move on to the next task. I like to see it. But you know, I had to learn a long time ago as I started traveling. I think I was 21 years old. Oh, excuse me. I was actually 20 when I made my first trip overseas and preached through an interpreter. But I was 21 or 22, I was over in the country of Romania and having to preach through an interpreter. Can I say this? I had to learn a long time ago that it's not up to me when the results come forth, that I can say something in my language, someone else tries to understand me and say it in their language so that the people out here can be able to understand it. And it's going from me to him, and I hope we have a good relationship, and giving it to them and hoping they can understand it. And I'm thinking, what in the world's all that's going on? Then at the end of it, someone comes forward and says, I need that Jesus that you were talking about. I'm like, you know, that's not me. But we sure got to have confidence in the message when it takes some time. And just allow that to be able to sink in, allow the Holy Ghost of God to be able to work upon hearts. I'm saying that for you not to give up on someone that you're giving the gospel to, that you're praying for, that maybe is coming. And listen, they'll sit there and listen. As long as they sit there and listen, guess what? There's still hope. As long as they're not rejecting the message and they're not rejecting Christ, listen, as long as they're listening, I'm going to talk. There's confidence in the message. And I thought, hey, listen, I wonder those that the Apostle Paul was dealing with, that it says that he was preaching and he was teaching with all confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit of God was working upon hearts. You get that little glimmer right there. Get that little glimmer of hope that you're saying, boy, it's sinking in. Boy, that hard, rough heart that they've been holding on to for years now, boy, it's starting to see a little chink in the armor. You're starting to see a little crack opening up, that the light of the gospel is starting to get in there. Can I say, the old hardened hearts, you've seen pictures of this, I've experienced some of it, that you get over into some African countries and, you know, they talk about the droughts. And listen, we don't know anything about drought here in New Hampshire compared to what some of these countries in Africa, when you walk out there into some of these desert places and it's so dry and hard that the ground is cracking and separating and pulling apart from each other. And I've noticed this. I've noticed that you can actually take water and pour it on dry ground right there. And you know, you would think it would soak it right up because it's so dry. It just sits right on the top, doesn't it? So maybe the closest thing you could compare it to is how many have ever taken a bag of Saccharide, of cement, and tried to mix it up. You can pour that in a wheelbarrow and you can put the water and it'll stay separated for a little while. It's so dry. You know what's got to be done? It just takes a little bit of time and you just start working it in. Just start working it in. You know what takes place? You get overseas, you get into them desert areas, you pour that water and it just sits right on top of the dry ground. But you know, some of you get down there and just start massaging that in a little bit, boy, some mud starts to come. Just got to be worked in. It takes some time. And I thought, you know, we've got some old dry hearts. And I wonder if those that were coming in and talking to the Apostle Paul, if they came in and said, I want nothing to do with your Jesus. I want nothing to do with what that message that you're telling to me. But they'd keep coming back. You know what I believe Paul would do? He'd just sit there and keep telling them about Jesus. Keep telling them about Jesus. At some, listen, there's a rejection and it's just sitting there and it's not mixing in. But every time they come back, just give them a little bit more about Jesus. A little more about Jesus. Hey, I'm thrilled to death people will come. Well, has that person gotten saved and trusted Christ? Has that person gotten saved? No, but they're still coming and hearing about Jesus. Still coming and hearing about Jesus. You know what it is each time? It's just working it in a little bit more. Giving the Holy Spirit of God an opportunity to be able to work upon hearts. You say, that's an awfully hard heart. Confidence in the message. It's amazing what the Word of God can do to be able to pierce a heart. Even when it takes time and you got to give it over and over and over, you say, Pastor, but I'm getting frustrated at giving it so many times. Hey, if they're listening, still give it to them. Still keep talking. Still keep talking. I thought about this. We can have confidence in the message when it's eternal and life-changing. Now you see, it's the success doesn't come in our commitment. The success is in the quality of the message. That's why it must be about Jesus. It must not be our personal message. It cannot be, hey, why don't you come and be a part of our church? May I say this? More importantly than that is, why don't you let Jesus be a part of your life? And then they'll get to the point that he's not just a part of their life. Why don't you let Jesus be your life? Everything about you, let it be about Jesus, and Jesus will make a difference. Listen, when the message is eternal, that's why some kept coming. The Bible says in verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, There came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Some believed, some didn't. You say, what'd they believe? Did they believe that Paul was a great orator? No, because he even told the church at Corinth, he said, I don't want to come to you with excellency of speech and with the wisdom of man's words. He said, that's not how I want to come to you, but I want to talk to you about Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus changed his life. And if Jesus could change Paul's life, guess what? There was hope for anybody Paul came in contact with of saying, hey, Jesus changed my life, he can change your life. And we look at it and we say, listen, you may be able to remember the person that you were before you got saved. Some have said it this way. They agree with the Apostle Paul and say, well, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Some have said, well, Paul hadn't met me yet. And some people say in their own life that they were the chief of sinners before Jesus saved them. Some of them may say, hey, you don't understand everything I've done in my life. Remind you of this. You can have confidence in the message of Jesus because it's eternal and life-changing. What Jesus has done for us, hey, some will believe, some won't. We're not responsible for that. We're responsible for the message and the content of the message, making sure that it's all about Jesus because he's the one that's going to be changing lives. Hey, we can have confidence in it. It is amazing what the message of Jesus can do in someone's life. When you just point them to Jesus and say, hey, here it is. Here he is. This is what Jesus can do. Well, Pastor, I have a hard time believing that. You know, it does come back to faith, doesn't it? It does come back to faith of just, I'm going to believe that Bible. And what the Bible says, because it's unlike any other book that I've ever read. I had a prisoner down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I walked in the Hamilton County Jail in Chattanooga. It was on a Saturday morning. And he wasn't quite in the drunk tank from Friday night. He was outside the drunk tank. He could carry on a conversation, but he'd just got locked up Friday night down in the basement of that jail. And I sat down, I opened up my Bible, and I started sharing a few verses to him, and he sat there beside me, and he said, Preacher, and here's what he said to me. He said, I appreciate you taking the time. He said, and I can tell you believe that. And he said, I know there's something different about that book. He said, but I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, I'm not just going to believe that because you read it to me. And here was his next phrase. He said, that's the first time in my life I've ever seen the Bible opened. That's the first time in my life I've ever heard anything read from the Bible. Now listen, we're talking about in America. And we're talking about Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is the buckle of the Bible Belt. You check out Baptist churches in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the last time I checked it and Googled it, 400 names came up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Here's a young man in his 20s. He said, I've never read a verse from the Bible. You know something? It took some time. And I don't know where the young man is today. Honestly, we had our appointed time with him, was able to put the Bible, be able to put gospel literature in his hand. I'm not sure where he's at today. Don't know if he's ever believed the message. But I will say this, he got a message that day that was eternal and life-changing. What if I'd sat there and talked about the weather all that time and never saw that man again? Never saw him again. I don't know where he's at today, but I will say this, I've got full confidence in the message. Boy, there's been too many that I've come in contact with, and you have too, that just on down the road, after a while, you try to start witnessing to them and tell them about Jesus, and it's amazing how many would say to me, not just in jail, in prison, but out on the streets, yeah, my grandmother believed that. And my mother tried to tell me about Jesus. You probably believe that same Jesus my mother believes in. And I'm just thinking, you know what's happening? That eternal message that they were told years ago, it may be taking some time, but it's coming back around and speaking to hearts. We can have confidence in the message. You know something? We're sowing out good seed. And the Bible says that it's not going to return unto him void. We may not see the results of it, but we know it's good seed. We know it's an eternal message. But then let me say this, we can have confidence in the message. And I read this about the Apostle Paul's life. We can have confidence in the message when it's the only message you have. You say, what do you mean? Well, I get tired of being around those people. All they do is talk about Jesus. What else are we supposed to talk about? You say, well, there's a bunch of other things. I say this, the priority of what we're talking about ought to be Jesus. If Jesus has done all that we say he's done in our hearts and lives, do you realize that for those 2 years, he could have been writing his will? He could have been doing a lot of other things. He was writing to the churches. He was reporting back to them. He was encouraging them. He wrote to a young preacher, Timothy. In fact, 2 Timothy is the last one we have recorded that Paul wrote to. He said, I'm ready to be offered. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, I'm ready. But he also told the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I just believe from studying and reading about the Apostle Paul's life, it didn't take you long to get around him for him to start talking about Jesus. When it's the only message, you say, well, he's got 2 years here, the last couple years of his life, and people are coming and going. What's he talking about? The Bible says he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine if someone came in, whether his closest friend or travel partner, Paul, what do you want to talk about today? Let's talk about Jesus. You know, he's been so good. I guarantee you he was even counting the blessings while he was sitting there. Hey, he could have been in a different prison setting. At least he was under house arrest in his own hired house. And still people get to come and go. You talk to any prisoner, listen, they get out and house arrest is better than being locked up in the big house. Counting the blessings as you go through there. Paul, what do you want to talk about? Well, the only thing I got to talk about is how good Jesus has been to me. Don't you think some people thought he was crazy? Hey, listen, do you know later on, by the time we get to the end of Romans and some of the other books and epistles that he's written, he's actually saying, those in Caesar's household salute thee. Those that were coming in, the impact that he was having in all those that came in, whether it be, hey, listen, that may be the lawyers. That may be the prosecutors that are coming in there. It may be the guards. Whoever it may be, saying, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus today. Remind me about a man that went in and visited in the hospital. He's here this morning. Visited in the hospital. Having a little bit of heart issues. And that nurse comes in there. Hey, sir, are you doing all right? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you born again? Let's talk about Jesus. We can talk about my heart later on. Let's talk about Jesus. What other message do we have to talk about anyway? Preaching the kingdom of God. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. I wonder if we're unsure about sharing the message of Jesus. I wonder if in our hearts and lives we're saying, oh, I wouldn't know what to say. I don't have all the answers. Can I let you in on something? I don't have all the answers either. But I do know about Jesus. And I do know that Jesus will change someone's life if they give him the opportunity. You say, Pastor, I don't know about all those other things. I know about Jesus. You know something? If Jesus is your Savior, if he's changed your heart and life, you can be confident in the message too. And you don't have to sit down and say, let me tell you about what Jesus did for someone else. I don't know everything that Jesus has done for Brendan. I'm not confident in that message. But you know what message I am confident in? What Jesus has done for me. And it may take a while. And I sit back and I say, man, I tell this person how wonderful Jesus is and what he's done for me, what he can do for them. And they sit back and say, yeah, I just don't know if I believe that. And I'm thinking, how can you not? And it may take some time, over and over and over again. I wonder what the longest is that Paul prayed for someone before they got saved, before they gave their heart and life over to the Lord. I wonder how many were saved. Listen, as a result of Paul's life, here we are almost a couple thousand years later, and we're still reading what Paul wrote. And the Holy Spirit of God using it to be able to speak to hearts. You say, Pastor, I just don't give the message of Jesus out because it's rejected by those that are around me. But you know something? Some are going to believe. Some are. I heard the story years ago about the shoe salesman that went over to Africa. Didn't sell a thing for months. You've heard it too, haven't you? And he came back and he looked at his company. He said, I can't do a thing over there. He said, nobody wears shoes. They sent another salesman over there. And he called back within a couple months and said, send me everything you've got. Nobody's got shoes over here. You know what it is? Some are going to believe and some aren't. Our hearts are grieved over those that reject Christ. But there are going to be those that reject Christ. But our heart can rejoice over those that believe. And that's enough to keep us going. That's enough that we realize, hey, this isn't in me. This isn't in anything that I've said. But this is just in the message of Jesus. And I think in my heart and life, maybe we would preach the kingdom of God and teach those things concerning Jesus a little bit more if we had confidence in the message. If we just believed that Jesus is who he says he is and he will do what he says he will do and just stay with the message. Stay on track. Don't get off script. Stay with the message of Jesus. You say, Pastor, what's going to work for the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years here at Granite State Baptist? I sure hope you don't get tired of hearing about Jesus. You say, is it going to make a difference? Just got to keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're one that hasn't believed yet. Now say this, the message that we're preaching is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We're preaching that Jesus is the one that died on the cross. He's the one that was buried. He's the one that rose again. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. The church is not the way to Jesus. Your baptism is not the way to Jesus. A man that started a religion is not your way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to the Father. And if you're here today and you haven't believed that, boy, it'd be a wonderful day to be able to get it settled. It'd be a wonderful day to say, okay, my life is not my own, my life is yours. I'm giving it to the Lord Jesus and believe in him for all of eternity. Maybe you're one that speaks against it. Well, can I say this? The hammer of the gospel has broken harder hearts than what you may be seated here with today. I've seen the old rough cut where they just chiseled away at the granite before they had all the fancy stones and they just kept whacking away at it. And I said, Lord, that's what we got to do with the message of Jesus. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. It'll soften a heart over and over and over. That's why I don't believe, can I run a rabbit trail and then I'm going to pray and be finished? That's why I don't believe proper punishment is keeping your kids home from church. Well, they're rebellious and that's just a privilege for them to go to church. You know the one thing they need? They need the Word of God to be preached to them, give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to break that heart. Let the word of God do the work. We had that while we were growing up. Someone thought it would be a punishment back when I was a teenager and we had other teenagers in the church. Well, your punishment, you're not going to church because you disobeyed. That's the place they need to be. Don't let them sit out. They just sit at home, play their video games anyway. That's not drawing them to Jesus. That's not getting the word of God upon their heart. Get them under the preaching of the word of God. Well, they just don't want to. There's a spiritual problem. They need preaching. They need the scriptures. You say, what message do they need? They need the message of Jesus. And by God's grace, let me say this, I'm going to stand up week after week after week, and I circled that phrase with all confidence, that the message of Jesus is going to make a difference in someone's heart and life. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, I'm thankful that you haven't left it up to me and what I can come up with to be able to provide hope to those that are around me. But it is the message of Christ that'll make a difference in some person's life. Some may reject it. For some, it may just take a while over and over and over. But it is eternal and life-changing. May we stay focused on the message of Christ. Would you have your will and way in our lives? Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the message of Jesus? Boy, we have to stay focused on that. Got to stay focused.